Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. All right, apologies for the glitch. Please kindly inform everyone we are back on MixLR. I think some persons prefer MixLR. Okay, if you prefer MixLR, you can join us on MixLR, and you can also as well join us on Telegram. God bless you. Share the link. Share the broadcast everywhere. We are live, and we are about getting into God's word. And after this God's word, we are going to be releasing prophetic blessings. Don't forget that the Lord spoke to us this morning that we should have our request written. We should have our request written. In case you have not done yours, kindly go ahead and write your request. Inform others. It's a prophetic action. And so please do well to have your request documented, written. We are going to present them before the Lord. We are going to present them before the Lord this evening. And we trust God for speedy answers. We trust God for speedy answers. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be alone, Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be alone, Adonai. From the rising
of the sun
to the setting of the same, your name is to be Alur, Adonai,
Adonai.
From the rising
of the sun,
sing it from the bottom of your heart.
Your name
be Alur, Adonai,
Adonai.
From the rising. Of the same, your name is to be, to be Allah, Adonai, 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 Adonai. Say Adonai, hey
Adonai.
Hey Adonai, from the
rising of the sun,
hey, to the setting of the same, your name to be Allah. Hey Adonai, from the
rising.
Say, your name is to be Allah. Hey.
Your name is
Aruna. From the rising
of the sun.
Oh, glory to God. Hey.
Adonai.
We worship you tonight. We give you praise and we give you glory. We ask, Holy One of Israel, that you will transform our lives by your word. For thine is the kingdom. And thine is the power. And thine is the glory. Forever and ever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please take your seat. Take your seat. We welcome everyone in the Lord's name to another edition of our Bible study and prophetic decrees and release. We are trusting the Lord that every one of us will be blessed in a manifold and mammoth dimension in the name of Jesus. Please, I'd like us to pay attention and concentrate today for every one of us who is not here physically. Wherever you are, ensure that we have your maximum attention. In a couple of minutes, that we're going to hang out with the Lord together. I trust the Lord that today's edition of Bible study is going to be instrumental to our Christian experiences in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been on a series that the Lord has been dealing with us with for some couple of weeks now. And so we want to make progress very quickly before we begin to pray. Don't forget that today also doubles as a prophetic meeting. We're going to be speaking over lives. We're going to be speaking over written, documented prayer requests, as the Lord commanded us in the morning. Alright, so, and remember I said to us that according to the will of God. Okay? So that you not say, Pastor says we should ask for anything. So you are still an undergraduate. I say, Lord, give me my own car. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I don't know what you need that for. I don't know. Glory to God. And I'm not saying having your own car is bad, but everything has time. And there should be priority. So you ask those things that are very, your needs that are very urgent, very cogent, that you know that this thing is about life and death. Amen. And let's see what the Lord is doing. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's make progress very quickly so that we can have enough time to also pray. We have been looking at the subject matter of kingdom service. Kingdom service. Kingdom service, and want to make progress tonight. Last week, we began from Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. If I'm not mistaken, the Bible says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Meanwhile, I remember saying to us on Saturday that this series is expedient for every one of us to listen to, especially if you are part and parcel of menorah. It is expedient that we all listen to it. We have it downloaded and we listen over and over again. It's very important that we listen to it. Alright, so if you have not listened to the part 1 through part 4, right? Part 4. This is part 4, right? Okay. So please do well to ensure that you go download the previous ones. If you missed it, please download it. Not slothful in business. So the reason why it's important is we cannot go over it again. Alright? There were a lot of things that came to us as a burden last week. And God has been giving us several burdens in each of the meetings that we have had. Alright? In each of the meetings that we have had, it's been series of burdens upon burdens. And we bless God for what the Lord is doing, because each of this meeting has been shaping lives. Has been shaping lives. I hear good reports. Even some who are lackadaisical about their investment in their local churches, they are now changing. Their paradigm is shifting. All right. So it's not just about the menorah. It's about the body of Christ. Are we together now? So we have a primary place of, we have a primary place where we are serving, all right? But much more, this is extended to the body of Christ at large. So that even when we are seen in our various local churches, we can be identified with the reality of accurate service. That men will be, they will be aware that you were cultured, you were trained. Alright? You know, there are things that men will see in your life and they will truly marvel. Are you following me now? There are things that, in the real sense, we are not, as it were, taught in church. Alright? Is that true? But men will be, they will see us doing them and they are wondering, where do you learn this from? Is that true? Alright. So, is one of the reasons why we are bringing this contemplation to the fore. We are bringing it to bear. So that as every one of us gather together to garner and to receive from the Lord, we can replicate these instructions everywhere we get to. We can replicate them. We can become useful in our local churches. We can become useful where we are serving in the real sense. All right? So, we were looking at this place last week. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Please give me a verse before this. Look at this. The Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Are you seeing that? And there's a semicolon, which means that the statement is a continuum. It continues. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Are we together? You see, in kingdom service, please pay attention, because I will just whet our appetite with this, then we'll now get into what he intends to look into. We thought we were going to look into it last week, but we could not leave this place, you remember?
We couldn't. The burden was rising much more, much more, much more. And we stayed here. We stayed here all through. Hallelujah. Are we together? All right. In kingdom service, one of the things that must be optimized, one of the things that must be prioritized, is the culture of honor. As much as, listen, as much as the Bible recommends that those who labor over you, that you honor them. Give me 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me just bring a bit of clarity. 1 Thessalonians 5, I think verse 12 or so. Okay. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. What should you do? That, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. Look at this. Those who labor over you, it says, the Bible says, you esteem them. There must be honor. Are you following me? There must be honor. Your pastors, your leaders, there must be honor. It says you esteem them so highly. Once you have marked them, you have seen those who labor among you, the Bible says, what do? You esteem them. You give them an esteem. You honor them. Now, listen. As much as the Bible says that you honor those who are over you, the Bible never says that you should dishonor your contemporaries. Are you following me? Because in the church now, it's as though we are only bringing honor to pastors. We are only bringing honor to prophets. We are not honoring ourselves. Get back into that place. We are not honoring ourselves. As much as you place honor and esteem on a pastor, you must also learn to discern the body. You must learn to do what? To discern the body. And also to honor the body. You must not see your brother and marginalize on him. You must not relegate your honor concerning your brother. Are we together now? So the Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another. This is about the church. This is about the body. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring who? One another, in honor. So if you are giving honor to your leader, if you are giving honor to your pastor, you must learn to honor the brethren. You must learn to honor the brethren. Very important. Extremely important that we place honor on those who are our contemporaries, those who are our peers, is extremely important. Are we together? That honor must be on the line. Honor must be on the line. You know, when you get into some church systems, there are all kinds of regulations that is binding on them. Alright? For example, when somebody wanted to join us at Menorah, the very first thing he asked me is that, sir, what is the law? What are we living by? What are the things that is operational amidst us? You know, because it's a very powerful inquisition. So that when you join a system, you are not apart from that system. Are you following me now? If you are employed in any organization, for instance, you'll be initiated into the culture of that environment, right? That's why sometimes you go through a period of training. Sometimes they put you on probational training for 3 months.
before you can get really into the system, because you must know the nitty-gritty of the system so that your life can be aligned perpetually into that system. After going through the training, you are not permitted to say you do not know. Is that true? Because you have now been incorporated. Right? You have been incorporated into that economy, into the system. So you know everything regulating that environment. The same thing operates in a church system, in a ministry system. All right? There are all kinds of things that is a law that is binding.
My God. Telegram is... Apologies, please. I don't know if it's a network or something.
If you are on Mixlr and you can hear us, can you please signify? Let's know. I think Telegram is...
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. What about MixLR?
Your name is to be Adonai. Your name is to be Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be Adonai. From the rising of the sun of the same.
What about Telegram?
Telegram, we have, I think we have more persons on Telegram, and the network is bad. Is it network now or?
MixLR is working. Okay. Okay, maybe we should just make progress. I don't know. MixLR is working, but Telegram is not working.
Wait, let me. Maybe you do it again, reload again.
All right, so I was saying to us that when you get into a system, there are all kinds of laws, all kinds of instructions that binds the operation of that system. All right. Thank you. So I think we are back on MixLR. Telegram. Amen. Amen. All right. Apologies for that. Sometimes the network can be funny. All right. So each time you get into a system, there is all kinds of laws that we must come into the understanding that regulates that system. Right? You know, there is a part of the church system that is organizational. All right? There's a part of church system that is spiritual. All right? We have the administrative setup. We have the spiritual setup. And everything cannot be mixed. All right? Even though everything is still under the angulation and operation of
the spiritual. Meanwhile, there's still an administrative setup. Are you following me now? I have my reasons for going this route because I want to explain something to us. All right. So, each system actually permits some level of operation. And some operations are not permitted. Are we following me? For instance, you know that there are actually dogmas. They are actually traditions that a church can come together and agree on, and it is binding. Are you following me now? It is binding. Why? Because there is an agreement. Are you following me? And now that there's an agreement, that tradition is now binding upon every member of that church. You cannot say that, well, I'm a church member, but I will not follow these rules. The best to do is to exit if you know that you can't follow the rules. Is that true? It's as simple as that. You don't have to be in a system that you know you cannot be subservient to. You just make your exit. If you know that the rules are stringent, you cannot bow to them. The best thing to do for you not to be violating the laid down rules, principles, tradition is to find your exit. Are you following me now? And sometimes, some systems might not necessarily come out to talk about the things they do, but you will see it in and around the member of that system. You know that this is the way they operate. This is what they do. I'm teaching about honor. Honor, in honor, preferring one another. I'm trying to say that this system has to be honored. Are you following me? Because it's binding, it has to be honored. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. All right? So if you see a culture that I, as a pastor, for instance, I uphold, or leaders, they uphold, it is sensitizing you as a member of that system that you must also uphold the same. Is that true? You must also uphold the same. That's why I said that we must discern the body and also honor the body. So that, you see, the truth is, if you want a level of honor from people, you must honor the people. Are you getting it now? If you want a level of honor from people, you must also honor the people. Respect is reciprocal, right? That was what we were taught while we were growing. You must learn. You see, people are looking for honor in men, but they are not willing to honor men. And it doesn't work that way. Please, I want to beg us, don't just honor pastors. Honor the body. You never can tell the person you dishonor today that you are looking down on. You never can tell if this person will be the one to make you rise. Are you following me? Let me tell you something. Somebody wanted to give someone a gift. Are you following me now? And the person is not far. The person didn't call me. The person called one of our members.
The person called one of our members and began to ask about the person. That this person, I feel like blessing this person, I feel like giving to this person and all. Are you following me now? Said, but I want to know about the person's life. Can you imagine that? When I got the report, I was marveled. Because we don't know that people are watching us. And I was not the one called. It was someone neutral. You know, anybody can just, you might want to be helped. Imagine that this person now say, that sister, she's not serious. You don't get. I'm trying to bring it down to our normal day reality so that you can understand what it means to honor ourselves. Don't just say it's only pastor I want to honor. It's a wrong notion. Very wrong. Don't just say it's only leaders I want to. It's a very wrong notion. You must learn to honor the body. Honor your brothers. Honor your sister. Honor them in righteousness. Give credence to them. For example, if you look at us at Menorah, we don't just, I for one, you will not just see me. There are people that I know them very well. What the difference between us is more than 10 years. More than 10 years in age. I know everybody. So I know people that 10 years, more than. But you will still not see me call some of them by their name. The people I call by name, they fought with me. Amen? And say, no. There's one of our sister. That one fought with me. I say, pastor, don't call me sister again. You know, sometimes I still do it. Are you following me now? I still do it. Because there is a way you can honor your people. And I'm not saying, well, the honor is in the sister, brother. Even though we uphold that culture amidst us. You don't just come and badge in and just say, Elkanah. Are you following me? You know, there are things that are worthy of slap. Amen. Or you see somebody who is married and are just calling the person by name. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We must learn to honor ourselves. We must learn to honor ourselves. Very, very importantly. That's why it began with the culture of a system. And when you get into that system, you also honor it. You honor it. If you have relationship with people outside this ministry, all right, it's a different thing. Okay? Maybe you know yourself way back. Whatever you like, you can do with yourself. But once you are in the system, there must be honor. There must be honor. We must give honor to ourselves. I'm not talking about honor to pastors today. I'm talking about honor to members. Honor to members. Especially for those of us who are leaders also. We honor people. We honor them. You don't just address people anyhow. You address people with all manner of courtesy. All manner of courtesy. If you have studied my life very well, you will know I don't joke with this. At least if every one of you cannot testify, some of you can testify. I don't joke with this. Honor. Honor. Right? Because as much as we expect honor as a pastor, we must give honor to members.
Because we are not exempted from one another.
Are you getting it?
We are not exempted from one another. This is one of the ways that we serve the Lord. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, semicolon, in honor, preferring one another, semicolon, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So it's also a way by which you are serving the Lord. You are serving the Lord in honor. You are serving the Lord how? In honor. In honor. Please, I like us to look into this. Because last week I couldn't touch on this. And this is all where we hung around this place all through. Alright? Honoring the body. Let me say this was, some of us are not aware that there are things going on underground. Are you following me? There are things going on beyond menorah. Even in our churches, there are things going on underground. There are people that your recommendation is in their hand. And your dealings with them matters. I will not go into details. But at least for those of us who know, you will notice that there are things that we are doing in our midst right now that let me drop off this bus. All right, I've alighted. Let's start our mission. I wanted the bus to mobilize me before, but I'm right now at the bus stop and I have to alight. Amen. But there are things going on underground, and if we do not give honor to ourselves, there are things that might likely pass us by. Are you getting it? You know, as a pastor, there are things I know that some of us might not know. All right, let's just drop off this bus. You know, all the while, what we have been exalting is the honor from members to pastors. All right? Because we want to receive blessings. It says, nevertheless, the lesser is blessed of. So we don't believe that we can be blessed of ourselves. All right? In fact, you don't know that there are people who are laboring over you amongst the brethren and are praying for you. And so you don't look down on anyone. On anyone. If there's anything I've seen in my journey, is this thing on looking down on people? It's very terrible. Do you know why? The truth is, overnight, God can change the story of the person you are looking down on. There is a young lady in our midst that God placed in a place that she can employ people. And many of us, we have qualification more than her. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you getting it now? If many of us, we have qualification more than her. But now, she can employ you. So it's not about... this and that and that. We must learn God can raise anybody. Anybody.
And we must learn to honor ourselves. We must learn to honor ourselves. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. All right. We spoke about the number one formula, and that's service in the house of God, right? Number two is the soul-winning adventure. Soul-winning adventure. If you have not been following this Bible study, you might not understand where we are at the moment. All right, so that's why you have to go and download it and listen to it. I can't go over it again. Go and listen. Soul-winning adventure. Soul-winning adventure. Menorah. I like us to pay attention in this place. You know, this is a burden for many years in my life. So I know what it means to be an addicted soul winner. No church, no ministry who undermines the potency of soul winning will ever thrive. Are you following now? If you gather a church by prophecy, something will scatter them. Are you following me? You can be prophesying to people and prophesying, and things will just happen. But if they are not tethered towards the reality of soul winning, the same way they gathered, they will also scatter. The primary way by which God designed for multiplicity and spreading and increase in church and ministry is by the adventure of soul winning. The church will become lean when souls are not won. The church will become lean when souls are not won. And listen, when I said the church will become lean, invariably I'm saying that individual lives will become lean. Are we getting it? You see, when we talk about soul winning, it is not an exclusivity. Okay? It is not an exclusivity. It's not exclusive to some sect, like I've said to us sometimes ago. When we talk about soul winning, is a generic reality of the church. It was handed over to the church as a general injunction by which we live, by which we are ordered, and we are patterned. Nobody says that he loves God and does not wink toes. Your love is not real. Are you following me? Nobody says that he loves God and does not win soul. I tell you, challenge me anywhere. Your love is not real. Your love is fake. Your love is fake. Because if your love is real, you will prove it. Because love is active. Love is action-based. Love is sacrificial. These are the symptoms of love. Action-based, sacrificial. Let me show you. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5. Let's start from verse 18. Please just give me your time tonight. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to how many? To us. Notice that in this us, the apostles were not captured. The prophets were not captured as a singular entity that must win souls. In fact, for you to understand the context, let's read verse 17. Look at this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, when he talks about us here, it is any man that is in Christ. It's not about any office. It's not about whether you're an apostle or an evangelist or a teacher or a prophet. It is any man that is in Christ. He said that, and has given to us. To us here means any man that comes into Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So who are those who owns this ministry? Us, the body of Christ. The body of Christ has been gifted with a ministry. And that ministry is called the ministry of reconciliation. So that even if you don't pioneer any ministry, you have this ministry. You are not getting it. So that even if your ministry doesn't have name, already you have name. You have name. You don't have to say Jesus saves ministry. You don't have to say Jesus comes center. Amen. When people are asking you, what is the name of your ministry? I have the ministry of reconciliation. Ah! The ministry of reconciliation. Every believer. See, I will begin to tell us the benefits later on. But I can safely say to you that when you engage in the ministry of souls, even when you are about to be broke, God will show up. I'm a living witness. Are you following me? You dies. You don't know what happens when souls are won through your vessel. What happens is that party is thrown in heaven. They throw party. And your record is captured. So every time you are about to be ashamed, embarrassed, the record will begin to play. And heaven will say, let us respond to him. Let us respond to her. That's why every soul winners, they are high flyers in life. Go and check everywhere. Every soul winners, they are high flyers in life. Every soul winners, they are high. Listen, some of your prayer requests is answerable to your investment in souls. Are you following me? Let's continue. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does this mean? To reconcile men back to the Father. Is that true? To bring them back. These were men who had been alienated from the commonwealth of Zion. They have been excommunicated from God. So what God did is that by the death of his son on the cross, he gave us access point into the ministry of reconciling men back to the Father, knowing fully well that we were once the enemy of the Lord, and as we speak, those who are not in Christ, they are still the enemies of the Lord. But the ministry of reconciliation is what brings them near to become the sons and the daughters of God. So as long as they are still outside, they are yet to be the friends of God. They are still the enemies of God because they are alienated from the commonwealth of Zion. So God gave us a ministry by which we can bring them into the fold the same way that you and I came into the fold. It was the ministry of a man that brought you. Imagine that that man didn't respond to you. You will still be smoking by now. You will still be high on marijuana. Some will still be living in constant prostitution, drug trafficking, money laundering, and what have you. But the ministry of a man was what suffices to bring us into the economy of God. Is that true? You see, there is a template in scriptures by which God causes multiplicity. There's a template. It has a network system. That network system operates on the protocol of be fruitful. Is that true? Be fruitful. So God created you, but He doesn't want you alone. He says, be fruitful. Are you following me now? Please get it straight. If God wanted you to be barren, He would have said it from the beginning, be barren. But the first command out of the five commands that God says is that be fruitful. That means you bear fruit. So it means that the wiring of a man already programs in for fruitfulness, because man was wired to be fruitful. And when it says be fruitful, notice it didn't just talk to a woman, right? It's about the man. The man means male and female. They are both man. Male and female. The man, be fruitful. So God wants multiplicity. He now says, when you are fruitful, also learn to multiply. That was the issue God had with the civilization of Babel. They were trying to camp around a point where they would not permit the spread of what the Lord had commanded. God wanted men to be fruitful, but this guy says that we are going to camp around a point. We are not going to spread. We are not going to multiply. And God had issues with that, because they actually defy the instruction of God from the beginning to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Are you following me? So God wanted, listen, in case you are saying that, well, it's not about the crowd, I want to say to you that it's about the crowd. Because God wants all men to be saved. According to God's perspective, He wants all men to be saved, and that no one should be destroyed. That's the wish of God. So if you are saying it's not about the crowd, then you are in disharmony with the will of God. Say, well, church, even if you are 10, even if you are 15, no, you are in disharmony with the will of God. That's not the design of God. The design of God is that the church will be enormously populated, so that through this enormous population, many persons can still be driven into the church. That's the network system. That when a soul is trapped, hijacked from the pit of hell, that soul can drive many into the kingdom. Are you following me now? That's the system. And if you check our organizations now, it's the same system they are applying. Marketing strategy. Isn't it? Those strategies, they have their predicates in scriptures. Marketing strategy. And God began that adventure with His own Son, in that God sacrificed one to gain many. He sacrificed one to do what? To gain many. It's a system. It's a strategy. Hallelujah. To wit, that God was in Christ, And what was God doing in Christ? Reconciling the world. Not the few. God is interested in crowd. You see some churches who have the vision of soul winning on daily basis, soul winning on weekly basis. I was hearing a particular sister say to me that their church, they have the vision to double the church. They want to double the church. The present numerical strength, they want to double it. So on a weekly basis, they are going out. They are fishing for souls. You are saying, is that the kingdom? No, you don't know the kingdom. Jesus was not reducing the church. He was adding to the church daily. He wasn't reducing them. He was adding. And listen to me, when he added 3,000, he didn't add 1K. The next he was going to add is 5,000. It was on an incremental level. And you are standing saying that he's not interested in souls or not interested in crowds. Who is your mentor? Who is your father? That you are unfruitful means that you are in disharmony with the will of God. That you don't win souls means that you are shortchanging the will of God. You are not interested in popularizing God. Are you following me now? Many of us, we are praying and praying and praying until we get back into the business of the kingdom. I tell you the truth, there are things that might not happen, that might not happen. I have seen someone that has been trusting God for the fruit of the womb for decades. Until this person came in contact with the revelation of soul winning. As she was winning souls, her womb opened. Are you following me? What opened? A womb. You see, there are mysteries that when we begin to engage them, it will ease your prayer life. And your prayer request will be reducing. I was praying for someone. I said, you will not have repeated prayer requests. Who understands that prayer? You will not have repeated prayer requests. Do you understand? See, when some things happen in your life, you will not remember to pray for money, house rent, food, car. You won't remember. And your prayer request will be reducing. In fact, a time comes that the only burden you are praying about is the kingdom. You are not concerned about anything ephemeral, the mundane. You are only focusing on the kingdom, on the kingdom, on the kingdom. Are we together? Please, I want to also understand this mystery today. It's the strategy of God for the end time church. The end time church must make God known. The end time church must make God known. And when I say the end time church, I'm also referring to the individual of us. We must learn to be reaping harvest everywhere. In our offices, our organizations, in our endeavors. We must learn to make God popular. God must be known in every sphere, every sector. God must be known. And the truth is, in our day and time, we have avenues, platforms by which we can reach many souls. Is that true? That's why a true Christian can never be jobless. Even if you don't have a job at the moment, you have a work.
Are you following me?
So instead of sitting down idle, you can still be walking up and down. and begin to minister to souls. You can still be walking. Don't say, well, I'm here to go for service. And all you do every time is to sleep and wake up until your service year comes. Amen? And you are just idle, nothing you are doing. Soul winners are high flyers. They ride on the wings of eagles. I tell you the truth. Go and check the life of everyone who is addicted to soul winning. Check them. They are never at any lowly ground. They rise higher and higher like an edifice because God designed it so. That's what God designed. You can't be a soul winner and you are lowly. No. No. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us what? Wait. What did he first give us? So, in case you are saying, well, since I have a ministry, how do I begin the ministry? You have the word of reconciliation. You don't have to hear God. Are you following me now? And say, Lord, when will I start my own ministry? No, you have your ministry already. The ministry of reconciliation. And he gave you how that ministry will be achieved. He now gave you the word. The word by which you will bring men is the word of reconciliation. And don't forget that this is to us. Not apostles. Not teachers. Not evangelists. No. To us. If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. And it is that man that the Bible says, to us he has given the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to me, I can say to you safely and for free that when it comes to matter of reconciliation, it doesn't have to take long. You can begin the day you got born again. And I have scriptural validation for what I said. You can begin the day you got born again. So all these lies that, well, it's because I don't know, it's not scriptural. There's a place of building, there's a place of learning, but you can still be on the job. The winning of souls adventure can begin at the point of your entry into Christ. Says, well, it's my learning process. It's my learning period. It's my this and that. Who told you that nonsense? And who said you shouldn't learn? You keep learning on the job. In John chapter 4, right? Jesus and his disciples, they were headed to a corridor and they got to a place where they saw a well. And while he got to that well, he dispatched his disciples to go get food. You know, if you have listened to me over the years, you'd have heard me say some level of humor in that light. Right? I've been comical about that particular, because if we want to go and buy food, I miss 12. Why would all of them go and buy food? You don't understand? You can just unpick people and say, two of you go and buy food, every other person's. So 12 grown men or 11 grown men, they went to buy food. They went to buy food. You don't understand? You know, but when a man's life is about to be changed, God will employ all kinds of strategy to bring it to reality. Do you know that if the disciples had been around Jesus, probably that woman would not have been saved? Because you remember when they returned, they were wondering that Jesus was having discussion, conversation. Because they were Samaritans and they are Jews, and they've got no relationship between them. There is a middle wall of partition that is between them, so that they don't have any form of communication. They greet themselves from afar. No intimacy, no conversation of any kind. That was why in the book of Ephesians, you read the Bible says that he has broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us, right? He has broken it down. So when Jesus met this woman, Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." And the woman says that, "We have issues. You guys are Jews. We are Samaritans. And there's this age-long issue that has subsisted between us that necessitates us not to give you anything or to have relationship with you." And Jesus says to her, "If you know the one who says to you to give him to drink, you would have given. Because if you partake of this water, you will still thirst. But if you partake of me, I'm a stream of endless river. You will never thirst again." And from that place, Jesus switched on into prophecy and began to tell her about five husbands and what have you. And the one you are in the house presently is not even your husband. And the woman said, "You must be a prophet." Right? That was the conversation that led into her salvation. Because she had a conversation with Jesus. Are you following me now? The next thing, nobody taught her. The next thing she began to do was to go on evangelism. The day she got born again. Because that was her own way of becoming born again. Are you aware of that? The next thing she went to do is to go on evangelical adventure. Do you know the funny thing? The Bible says almost the whole city. Almost the whole city. A woman was sufficient to convince a city about the Messiah. Meanwhile, this woman had not attended Bible study for 5 years like you are attending. For 3 years, just a day of intercourse, a day of encounter with Jesus was sufficient to give her a revelation that could shift the ideology and paradigm of a city. You don't get an encounter. You see, if you say to us that you have fully encountered Jesus, if you don't see the dividends of soul winning your life, your encounter is fake. I tell you, your encounter is fake. And I'm not apologetic about it. Because if you have encounter with Jesus truly, the next thing that must be a burning passion in your heart is the soul winning adventure. You cannot just be seated idle when souls are dying. You can't. You don't know the God you are serving. Probably all you are looking for is miracles, signs and wonders. You don't know the God you are serving. If you know him, you will be on your lips. Right? Lips and bound. Lips and bound. You will be leapfrogging. Are you following me now? Making progress into ensuring that the kingdom is populated and hell is depopulated. Maybe some of us, you have to go and revisit your encounter that you had to be sure that you truly had encounter, because you cannot have encounter with God and the burning passion and desire for souls will not be at your corridor. One encounter was enough. She was not minding exegesis. No exegesis. Her experience with Jesus was what he was teaching. And she was going everywhere. And people were convinced. And the Bible says they all followed. I am a Konde. So if you are winning souls, they must follow you. Well, are you following me now? They will follow you to Jesus. She didn't win soul and left them at home. No, they followed him to Jesus. You must bring your souls to a place where they can be cultured and trained. That they can check your church, the ministry where you are serving, and say, "Me, I brought this soul. I brought this soul. I brought this person. I brought this person. I brought this person." Right? Everyone that you are celebrating that comes out for first timers at Menorah, somebody brought them. isn't it? And even our churches. She won those souls, but they were not at home. She brought them to Jesus. Oh my God. She brought them to Jesus. And it says, then, see the man who told me about my life. See the man. So it's not about her, it's about Jesus. She brought them, but left them with Jesus. Ah. You know, that was the same thing about John. John says that he may increase and I may decrease. It's no longer about me. Even though my ministry has been flourishing, but now that Jesus had arrived, it's no longer about me. It's about Jesus. Some of us, you will have to go and pray again. You see, let your prayer change. Let your prayer change. You have to go and pray for a burning desire for soul, that your appetite, instead of just sitting down recklessly, without engaging in anything, even when you have work, you have job, you have to know that the kingdom must be populated. Maybe what you need to pray is a fresh encounter with Jesus that will bring a lasting investment and burning passion for souls. Burning passion. Try what I teach you in 3 months. We are getting to a point that we are now comfortable with allowing souls perish. And we still even form quorum to discuss it. And we are laughing, we are making jests. They're saying, look at that sister. That's hello. Meanwhile, God raised us to hijack those people from hell. But we have become jesters. Some of us, our level of sarcasm and comic is becoming terrible. That we just jest anyhow about souls, our passion for them has died. Just one encounter was sufficient to sweep a whole lot of people into the kingdom. Just one encounter. Just one. That's the number one point, right? I can give you another one. The madman at Gadara. He didn't have many encounters with Jesus. Just one. Don't forget that it was within that man that the spirit of legion was sent out. Is that true? And why that thing happened, the Bible says to us, see, they didn't attend school of ministry. There's nothing wrong with those. They didn't do constant Bible study. There's nothing wrong with those. But I'm saying to you that at the point of your entry into the kingdom, you can be so passionate that through you, God will work wonders. Archbishop Benson Daosa, it was when he got born again, he began to look for dead bodies. He had not even learned anything. The only thing he saw is that the Bible says, whatsoever I, what was that scripture now? Matthew 11:24. If you believe, you will say to this mountain, right? And that was how he raised his first dead. So the madman and Gadara, the Bible says immediately, this man went into Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities. Somebody who was once mad went into 10 cities and began to witness Jesus. And you are ill and hardy. Nothing is wrong with you. You were not mad before. Before you came into Christ, you were not mad. You are sane. But in the area of winning souls, you are insane. Are you following me now? A madman began to go to cities, cities upon cities. Ten of them, ten. And began to talk about Jesus. Meet this man. Talk about, do you know Jesus? Jesus loves you. Meet that another woman. Do you know Jesus? A madman. Madman. That was cutting himself all over his body. He was going to cities, household upon household, talking to them about Jesus. Instead of sitting down, he was going to houses. You don't have to wait to get preaching engagement like some of us. Alright? You can write, I've told you my stories upon stories. Before we get to where we are, there were things we were going to secondary schools as an individual, as a person. Not with people. Don't wait until there's a group of people to go on assignment to do evangelism and say, menorah day of evangelism. No! As an individual, I will visit secondary schools. I will preach on the bus. You think a man just arises? You are looking for platforms. People should invite you. But God has seen your heart. You are not genuine. Because if you are genuine, you will rise. Household to household. Talk to people. That's why I said, don't just appreciate results. Check the track record. Check the process. Know what men who are rising today, what they have done. Before you can say, I want to be like them. One thing that killed us is this spirit of I'm not led. You are not led to win souls. When the Bible already told you that you have been given the ministry. So you have to be led. I don't understand you. Wait. Somebody deposited money into your account. You have to be led to withdraw. You don't understand? Say, Lord, please speak to me. Should I withdraw money? And you need money. I don't understand you. See, this thing, they are killing us. It's a different thing when maybe you are about on the job and God says that it's not time, or this particular person, no yet, not now. That's a different thing entirely. But you know your ministry already. You is like they employed you at work. And in the morning you are saying, Lord, should I go to the office? And you are praying in tongues, Holy Ghost. Where they are paying your salary, you are saying, Lord, should I go to the office? Man, you have been employed. And you've got to go. Are you following me now? And it's also a different thing if, for instance, maybe once in 3 months, God is telling you about an impending danger. And say, today. That's different. Are you following me? Everyone must rise to the occasion of drafting souls into the kingdom. That souls are swept. They are swept. You are saying you are jobless. It's because you don't know your work. What I just told you, those are my idle days. So instead of me just, it was even in that time that the Lord said to me, he said, I should begin to write names of people and begin to pray for them. I think it was on a Tuesday or Thursday that I prayed for every one of them. I don't know where the diary is, but you need to see names. Praying for people. Your needs are not met, and you don't know what to do to ensure that you engage God.
Because in those days, as I was doing that, I would just be seeing supplies. In fact, that was so encouraging. Because the supplies now encouraged me. I now took it as a job. Amen. I was getting wealthy. It became a job. So I was saying, somebody was speaking to me today and said, he wants me to pray for him and be praying for him consistently. Said, hope is not inconvenient to me. I said, me? I said, that's my job. Inconvenient to me. You don't know what my prayers will do to me. It's not even about you. It's about me. When Job prayed for his friends, the Bible says to us that God did what? He restored everything double fold. When he prayed for his friends. So it's not just about winning souls. You also keep praying for them. That's why everywhere I get to, I ensure that I take their details. You understand this. You are on your way out from penury. You understand it. You are on your way out from the life of mediocrity. I know some of you are just hearing it. You know, the Bible spoke about the parable of the sower, right? There are some of them that the Bible says temporarily the word of God will work. But very soon, the thing will escape again. Temporarily. Some of us, you are feeling remorseful now. But the truth is, you get back, you don't take steps. You are not still fruitful. You are an unfruitful vessel. Even though you are a vessel, but you are not relevant with God. I tell you the truth. It's as simple as that. You know why I said so? Because God begins to take glory when you are fruitful. The glory of God is in your fruitfulness. You don't know that? Let's ensure that you are studying scriptures. When you begin to win souls, that's when you are giving glory to God. Your life is not yet giving Him glory. But soul winning, fruitfulness, let me show you from scriptures. I'm not just telling you about something in my mind. I'm showing you scriptures. Give me John chapter 15. John 15. Your life has not started giving Him glory until you begin to be fruitful. Let's start from verse 1. I'm going to verse 8, but let's start from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. This scares me a lot. What happens to that branch? It taketh away. So you can still be praying, but your unfruitfulness makes you irrelevant because you are taken away. That's what it means. You can still be shouting and doing wonders, healing the sick, but according to heaven's pattern, your inability to bear fruit means that you are taken away. Every branch, everyone, not some, every branch that does not bear fruit, they are not relevant. They can be useful in the church, but when it comes to kingdom matters, that's why the Lord said to me that I need to paint our heart with kingdom this year. That's why I'm going to be teaching us about the kingdom a lot. It's not just about the church, but the kingdom. The kingdom. Many of us, our problem is that we are useful in church, but we don't recognize the operation of the kingdom. The kingdom is not what has eaten up our heart. That's why we are like this. The kingdom. Understanding the population of the kingdom, the widespread of the kingdom, understanding how the kingdom must be greater than every other thing, above anything else. I think some persons were here when myself, my wife, and some persons were discussing. And in this our project that is ongoing, there are steps that we are taking, myself, my wife, and we are saying to them that if we are to consider ourselves, some of us, we can't talk to people because you think, well, what if they want to help me? If I tell them about the project of the kingdom, then they will not help me again. Your heart is slim. You don't know anything in the kingdom. There are people who are celebrating what others are doing, but they are not doing anything. No contribution. You heard that somebody say they will give us money, and it was somebody who spoke. You say, hey, glory. But you, there's nothing you are doing. No, nothing has come from your side. Because you are not extending the frontiers. You are not. You see, these are the things that God looks at our heart. Sorry, He looks at our heart. He knows your heart. So you can pray and pray and you don't get results. There's something we know about your heart that heaven has known. There are people that we can ask for things personally. But what we said to them, said, our own life is about the kingdom first. As that when that thing happened, we were trusting God for finance. We were trusting God. And yet somebody was still speaking to somebody outside the country, many persons outside the country, for another thing when we were in need. You don't understand. You don't know. You see, and that need was now supernaturally settled. Because it's first about the kingdom. About the kingdom. It's first about the kingdom. If you put your life ahead, if you are trying to save your life, you will lose it. But if you are losing your life, you will save it. And in this kingdom, you must learn to waste for God. You must learn to waste. I said to you that the best place you can waste your love is in Christ. You must learn to waste, to become reckless. There's a reckless abandonment. Reckless abandonment unto Christ. Say, if I speak to this brother, they will not help me again. They will help a ministry. You don't know that what you are doing it to the kingdom. You are not doing it for any man, to the kingdom. And the result is fast approaching, is waiting. I tell you and I teach you what will better your life. Everything is now left to you. But there will be a record that you were taught. There will be a record that you were taught. You are celebrating the fruitfulness of others, but you are unfruitful. Men are walking everywhere. They are just saying, ooh, you are cheering them. You are cheering them. But nothing is coming from your own corridor. Because you are first about your life. Seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. And his righteousness. And the Bible says, every other thing shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. First the kingdom. That's what some of us have chosen to pursue. To pursue. I would rather allow the kingdom expand than my personal aggrandizement. I would rather allow the kingdom to proliferate, to spread, than my personal dynasty. What dynasty do I want to build again? What do I have again apart from God? Apart from Him. Many of us don't have this mindset. That's the problem. We have the mindset of a level of self-aggrandizement. And that's selfishness. You look at the kingdom like this, and you are still putting your own ahead of the kingdom. You don't know the way of Christ. No wonder you are not on the on the line, on the move, to ensure that the kingdom is populated. And how do you populate the kingdom when the ministry you are is not populated, or the church you are is not populated? That's their entry into the kingdom. You think you can sit on the fence? God knows you. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. Nobody sits on the fence. This kind of teachings, they are to wound you and to wreck you. And not just that, is that you get back and you're on your feet. You're on your feet. Else, you see, you will pray and pray, and some things might not open. The truth, that's the truth. I didn't say some things will not open. I said might not. You will know that a pastor taught you this. That's the way of the kingdom. Any branch, no respect for anybody, any branch. He's not a respecter of anybody. God, you see, even if you like, you are consistent in meetings. Right? Even if you like, you don't miss programs. If you are not fruitful, it says that this is it. As much as you are consistent meetings, you are going up and down, you are doing all kinds of activities, God is still waiting on your fruitfulness. On your fruitfulness. Because by the time we return to Abba, that's our report card. How many souls do you have on your report? How many? What can we see about you? How many have you brought into the kingdom in these 3 months? In last year, every year I look at myself, I say I must get better. That's why I have records. I must get better. If I add 1,005 or 5,000 last year, this year must be better. But some of us, you are just there. You don't have any vision, no record for soul. You don't have passion, nothing. Can you bring us your souls? Bring them to us. Let's see it. And you say you are relevant in the kingdom? No, sir. It's not the will of Christ. No record. And you have time. Some of you go to work, you close 4 or 3 or 5. That time you get back home, you sleep. The next day again. Some of you are at home all through. Nothing. You sleep, you wake up. And you say you are relevant. That's irrelevance. Are you following me? It is. You are irrelevant. Nothing you are doing. You wake up, switch on the TV. That's all. No avenue to draft soul into the kingdom. You make contact with people on a daily basis, nothing. Some of you are not even proud of church. You are not proud. That's why on your status, there are people you hide. Before you use flyer, you hide them so that they will not see that you are a church person. You first hide it before you use it. So I don't want to know that I'm part of these people. And you first hide them. The Lord knows you. I'm speaking by prophecy. You are not proud of church because you don't want to be known among them. You don't want people to say, so you too, you are a church person. Or some people, you don't want them to know that you are a part of the pastor's ministry. So you just hide. You don't know the way of the spirit. You are just playing church. You are not relevant in the kingdom. That's why your voice is not appended in heaven. You just talk and talk and talk. Nothing happens. You know our voice, they have different weights in the spirit. Our voices. The weight yours carry might be different from the weight he has carries. The weight, they are different. And how do you build your portfolio? You build it by kingdom service. Kingdom service. Service in the house of God. Service in soul winning. Soul winning. Addicted soul winner. We find our fathers who are in the faith. We still see them on the street of Otta. I was looking at Bishop Abioye 2 days ago, still standing, preaching everywhere. Some of us, we have gotten nowhere, and we are just seated. Nothing about your life. Those who have even those who already arose, they are still about this work. They are saying you are praying to God for a miracle. Lord, I want you to show up. Lord, I want to. What are you doing for that Lord? When he checks your record, what can he see that you have done? That will say, no, we must not allow Karunwi to be shamed. We must not allow him. Because when it talks about comes about the kingdom, when it comes to the reality of the kingdom, there's relevance. So we must show up for him. I tell you what will salvage you. I tell you what will save you. Are you following me now? Let's read on. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Why does he have to purge it? That it may bring forth more fruit. More. Why? Because he's bearing fruit. He ensures that he prunes him. He shapes him to the end that he may bring more. That was the mission behind the parable that Jesus told us about the master who went out and he gave talent. He gave one to one, three and five, and one went to bury his. But others, they multiplied it. And the Bible says he gave them 10 more cities and 5 more cities. Why? Because they are a good servant. Listen, the reward of your labor in the kingdom is more labor. The reward of your labor in the kingdom is more labor. If you say you are laboring and you are not experiencing more labors, you are not laboring. Because you must keep laboring. You must keep laboring. That's the reward of labor. You don't know this, you don't know anything in the kingdom. More labor. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, ye that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Are you seeing that? The same bringeth forth much fruit. Because of time, go to verse 8. Look at this. Hi. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? How is God glorified? So all the while you have been bringing shame unto the Lord. According to your own life, your life is a customized shame unto God. Customized shame. Because your life is not captured in this economy. So if every other person are talking, you should keep mute. Keep quiet. Say, I know who I am. Who are you? Who are you? Tell me, who are you? You know all of these things that we just confess. You just come and confess. I know who I am. I'm the righteousness. So you are the righteousness of God. What is your relevance to that God? Herein is God glorified when ye bear fruit. Not just saying I'm the righteousness of God. Who are you? I know who God says I am. What is that? Go and stop that nonsense. Let's teach us scriptures. Look into the word of God. Allow your life to conform to the word. And the same way I'm teaching you, I'm teaching me. Why do you think we are on the move when we are tired? We still rise up. When we are tired, we still rise up. Do you think it's easy? I've preached in 2 places today. I'm still doing one overnight by 1 a.m. By 1 a.m. And by that time, some of you are sleeping. You now say you want to be like pastor. You think it's by mouth. So 4 places in a day, we travel up and down. Sorry, risking our lives. What do we know? What has eaten us deep? The kingdom. And it is that glory you are praying for. Meanwhile, you don't know when we are going to schools, when we are preaching on the bus, on the street. You don't know those days. You just want to say, let them also invite me now. See, even if we give you platform on Menorah, if there are things you have not done, you will not have visibility. Visibility. You think it just come? No. If they give you platform in your church, if you don't have visibility yet, there are things that will not happen. Because God will read your heart. Just think it's because you heard Mike. You are doing that. So people just start inviting you. No, he reads your heart. Do you have passion for the souls? Do you have? Say me, it's just for me to pray. Pray is prayer ministry that God gave me. You see, that's supposed to be every believer. It's generic. Who will be a believer and will not pray? Thank God you have seen from scriptures that it says us. He gave up us. Us. So what you are saying does not have scriptural template. You are against the will of God. You say my own is prayer. Just for me to stay indoor and pray for money tonight. You are in trouble. You don't know. You have mentors. You know, our problem is that we look at people and say, but what about this man? Is the man the model? Is that man the model? Scripture is my model. I don't care anybody. Scripture is my model. That's why the fact that some men who have high rank, they are praying some kind of prayers. That the fact that they are doing does not mean I will do it. Scripture is my model. Scripture is my model. Every one of us will receive our reward. Are you following me? Don't just be wrecked. Strategize. Plan on how to begin. Don't just be remorseful. Because this one can die now. After this message, he can die immediately. By the time you get back home now, maybe you are married, you are with your wife, everything will just die. Everything, you will not remember anything again. In fact, that already shows to us that you don't have appetite for the kingdom. Because this kind of message, you should get back home and you don't have time to talk with your wife. You go and burn in the place of prayer and say, Lord, show me the way of soul winning. Show me the way. There are teachings that you listen to. You don't have time to deliberate at home. No time. Listen, all men for himself. No, when they do roll call in heaven, there's nothing like my wife. I tell my wife. There's nothing like the family of Karunwi. No, all man for himself. There's nothing like the family of Elkanah. All man for himself. If your wife refuses to do some things, just leave her. If I refuse to do something, my wife will just leave me. That's it. All man. We are married though. Beautiful. But at the end of the age, it is all men for himself. There's nothing like the family of Gideon. Nothing like that. Nothing. Thank God that in our day and time, we have all kinds of avenues to win souls. All kinds. Maybe you are too big to stand on the road. You are too big. You want to save. You want to save. And you don't want to win souls. You are a liar. Give me Daniel 12. We are going to pray very soon. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look just like you. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look just like you.
Thank you, Father.
Verse 3, please. Look at this. The Bible says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness. You know, sometimes I'm almost emotional, feel like crying, when I remember scriptures of my encounters. This changed my life. And they, you know, when I study scripture, I put all into it, my emotion inclusive, my will. I think maybe that's why some of us, scriptures is not really affecting us. Because we don't put our all. You know, there are things that when you read, you jump up immediately. You want to be at work. You want to be at work. Because it's like there's an inferno that has been set on your inside. Everything must be in it. Everything. So we just read casually. Casually. It, maybe it's not affecting us. A new generation must arise. That scriptures must truly burn in their heart. Doth not our heart burn within us when he speak unto us? Doth not our heart burn within us? The two disciples on their way to Emmaus. Does not our heart burn when he speak? It was his word that burnt our heart. Ah, his word. So when you look into scriptures, your heart is supposed to be burning. You almost immediately want to rise up and begin to do it. It's the same thing with your love work, the same thing with your honor life, the same thing with your giving. You don't just read them, you do them. You do them. You live by them. You don't read scriptures about giving and you are not giving. You don't read scriptures about principles and you are not following principles. But you know how to teach people. You have all kinds of exegesis. Say, this is the way. This is it. This one. This one. But we can't see it in your own life. What kind of person are you? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many, not few. God does not have glory in few. Those that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is the end of soul winners. They shine. They don't shine for a few years. Their shining is eternal in scope. They shine forever and ever. Those that turn many to righteousness. That turn many to righteousness. Not few. Proverbs 11:30. Look at this. The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? So when the Bible says that those who are wise shall, who are those it is referring to? Those that win souls. So if you are not winning souls, you are a fool. Sorry. But that's the biblical implication. Those who are not winning souls, they are foolish. Because we have the wise virgin and we have the foolish virgin. They are both virgin, but one is wise, one is foolish. So we can be Christians, but you are a foolish Christian. The same way we have carnal Christians. Isn't it? Carnal Christian. Because those that the Bible reckons as wise are those who win souls. So are you seeing that all the while you have been walking in foolishness? And you are saying, I know who I am. You are correct. You are foolish. Because that's who you are. So you say, I know who I am. You are saying, yes, I know I'm foolish. It's as simple as that. Don't come and massage our understanding with your new creation theology. You are telling us new creation that you are not fulfilling. That's why it told us that scriptures has its legal aspect and its vital aspect. All of those you are declaring, they are just legality. They are not vitality. It is your incorporation and cooperation with scriptures that brings you into vitality. You can be declaring your legal stand. It doesn't change anything until you are in partnership. It doesn't change anything. There are many people who are saying, I know who I am, and they are fornicating well. Isn't it? Those that be winning souls, the Bible says, they are wise. They are wise. Those that win souls, they are wise. The Bible says to us that they shall shine as the stars forever. They shall shine as the stars forever. They shall shine as the stars forever. If you don't appreciate anything about the JW, you should appreciate this. You complain about them, but you can't do what they are doing. Every Saturday they go from house to house. That's when you flange up. I said they don't know the word. They don't know the word. And you that you know the word, you are seated. There's nothing your life is bringing to the kingdom. You think it's just about come and share Bible on the pulpit? You are only preaching to saved people. Saved people. Where are the records of your unsaved people in the church? Where? Or even if they are not coming to your own church or your ministry, where have they been planted? After you warn them, what is your label about praying for them? This work of the kingdom is not something small. That's why if you want to be relevant in the kingdom, you must give your all. Your all. Your all. Your all. Don't stop working. Don't say, Pastor said we should come into full-time ministry. Still continue to work, but give your all. You see, that's why I thank God. I thank God that I worked. Because many of you would have been saying that, well, it's because, Pastor, if I begin to mention, you know my story, we have worked many places. I got back from service. I only rested 1 month on purpose. Not the place I was to work is ready already, but I just rested 1 month. I started work immediately. I'm not a lazy person. You should know me that by now. By now, you should know me. I'm a workaholic. Workaholic. I'm proud to say I'm one. That's why you see that in the kingdom is still working for me. In the kingdom. Left that place of work, started another place again. After service. So don't think we are using ministry as an excuse to escape work. No, because what some people are doing. They want to use ministry as... When did the Lord say to you that you should not work? When? Can you show me when he told you? And what he told you that you must do if you are not working? Eh? You see, some of us, the Lord will help us. It will help us. I'm saying this because of some of you that say, you want to receive ministry. You want to receive ministry. And God said, I should not work. If you didn't hear God, and you try it, you are in trouble. Because you will remain beggarly. And you think that is God that is unjust. Are you following me now? When I heard my own, I cried. I cried well. But somewhere inside of it, I knew that it was the right decision. Because at that point in time, I was becoming unfruitful in my office. And that's not for a good Christian. Anywhere you are, you must be fruitful. At such point, I was traveling 3 days. Right? That one day I came to my office, my boss said, see, he's a Christian. So he thinks if you have to face the kingdom, and just know that we are not in the same office. And he was right. But the truth is, I never struggled with God. I obeyed him. And it's many years now down the line. And many of you cannot say that. You don't know that I heard God. No. Because I have not come to beg you. So you should know that. And with all these kinds of responsibility on us, some of you know us too well. You know how we spend. You know. So if a man doesn't hear God, and that man now says, God says, may my God help you. I said that for some of us upcoming ministers, that from school, as you're seeing, as I'm coming from service, you better walk. I walk too. Amen. Thank you, Father. You can still be working and be winning souls. Yes. At least I'm a living witness. I thank God that all of this is, I have examples for them. I'm a living witness. Soul winning is the heartbeat of God. Soul winning is the heartbeat of God. You see, the only event that happens on earth that the Bible told us about, the feedback in heaven as touching pattern, is soul winning adventure. That when soul winning adventure is going on earth, heaven is throwing party. He gave us the feedback. That's the only event. There are many events, but that heaven is throwing party. That angels will start beating drums. And they will be dancing. He said, hey, glory. Don't forget that these same angels, when the Lord laid the foundation of the earth, they clapped it into existence. Job 38. They were clapping. They were celebrating. There is joy in heaven over every sinner that repented. Listen, if someone got repented by you, see, you better go and start appreciating God, because something has been written concerning you. For the rest of your life, you are preserved. That souls were won by you.
You just knocked on heaven. You knocked on heaven. And there is response. It's not heaven knocking. It is you that knocked. And there is response. There is joy in heaven over every sinner that repented. And what is the effect on the person who brought the sinner into Christ? The Bible says to us that that person shall shine as the stars forever. It's beyond ephemeral. It's an eternal reward. You alone are my hunger and thirst. You alone are my eternal reward. Are we blessed? Let's pray. Let's rise to our feet and pray. Oh my God. Oh my God. Can we say to the Lord, Lord, show me the revelation of soul winning. Beyond what pastor has taught us. Personal revelation. Lent is tomorrow. Lent is still tomorrow. We are not having Lenten service. The revelation of soul winning. The revelation of soul winning. You alone are my hunger and thirst, and you alone are my eternal reward. For you alone are my hunger and thirst, and you alone are my eternal reward. Oh Lord, show me the revelation of soul winning and how I can be an effective soul winner. An effective soul winner. I have heard your word by the hearing of the ear. Show me that revelation. Show me. Some of us, many of the things we are trusting the Lord for, it will answer when we begin to engage in soul winning. There will be response when we begin to engage in soul winning. Emala koba zupre kopekanda la supra diatabu. Jali kopre de vena prodo kopala diata. Lord, show me the revelation of soul winning. And how I can become a soul winner. One encounter is enough. The woman at the well had just an encounter. The madman at Gadara had just an encounter. Kebodo sope nagatole adondezala. Jekreto preskibolo bondazato. Eriaku palisko bedevana pro di atabu. Ooh. 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 So winning is a jackpot. You better be serious. Those online, those on site,
Eme kedozo tapalatonde kebaloria. Jai kobres kebalata bratas kepatona barut. Kembre les keba. Don't forget that those who are not winning souls, they are foolish. Can you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm wise from today. As I begin to win souls, I'm wise. My foolishness are gone. My foolishnesses, they are gone. Kibarabo soprende parus kapataya. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I pray that we understand. And I pray that after now, you know, because this was still Jesus' emphasis after his resurrection. At a point in time when they left, when Jesus left, disciples of Jesus, they began to go on their way. And Jesus resurrected, went to heaven, came back again. And he met them, said, children, have ye anything to eat? Said nothing. He cooked for them. He boiled and fried fish for them. They had. And the next thing was that he turned to Peter and said, Peter, son of Barjona, lovest thou me more than this? The proof of your love for God is in your soul winning. Says, feed my sheep. He asked three times. Emphasis. Feed them. Because once the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter. I pray that we are going to understand this thing. And those of us who have been idle, who have been idle, we will be set on our feet. I said it to you, try it in 3 months. Meanwhile, I'm not saying that God will elevate you. I'm just saying, try it in 3 months. See that your own life, you know, there's a joy that comes to us, not just joy in heaven. There's a joy that comes to the minister. When I see souls won, my God, I'm joyous. I saw hundreds of souls won in the meeting we had in Ibadan. There were many. I think the second year I went, oh my God, and I was almost shedding tears. How God is sweeping men into the kingdom. Imagine me that I'm happy. How much more God? How much more God? When will your life, my life, begin to give him glory? Herein is our Lord glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Not few, much. And so, what happened in turn, in that God is glorified. And you know that God cannot be glorified and you are not glorified. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. It can be glorified and you are not glorified. He says, if we partake of his sufferings, we also partake of his glory. So winning of souls might look like suffering. Might look like there's an inconvenience. Your time, everything, your money is expended. When I remember some of these days, I'm just giving glory to God.
that we have to waste money just because we want to preach. We are wasting the resources in time, but there's a supply in heaven. I know that the next time you are waiting for is when Menorah will call for corporate evangelism. That's when you now begin to flex muscle. They will think that you are the best soul winner. They will think that that's your normal routine. Meanwhile, you are waiting for that time. You don't have your personal time. Many people say, Pastor, when we went out, it was awesome. It was powerful. Since that time, nothing has happened again. Since that time. So we are waiting for the next one where we can flex muscle. It's very good. Corporate evangelism is very good. Meanwhile, we also go individually. There are some of us today that we get back home, we write the names of people and say, this one, I'm on your neck. You write the names. You start taking steps. It will take you not to eat tonight. Don't eat. Amen. I permit all your wives not to cook. Amen. Apart from mine. Amen. And you are saying, Lord, this person. You are on their neck. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray because of our time. If you have a prayer request, can you please bring them out? Let me present my own too. The instruction is write your prayer request. Write. Not type. We don't learn to obey instructions. We just like to do our thing and say, it's the way I want it. Write your prayer request. We are going to present it before the Lord. From the rising of the sun. That's the song the Lord gave me. To the setting of the sun. Your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. From the rising of the sun. To the setting of the sun. Your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. Just present those books before you. Go ahead and sing it, please. Present everything before you. It's about time. Go ahead and sing. Spirit of God, this is your time. It's time now. We have responded to your voice, Holy Spirit. From the rising. Abola barusa benayla. Iko bandas kabada balaka poska bena paradas kapada liata. Ila gada badas kabada baraka paladia kupara das kabatabu. Kaeta pales kepata brikus ke baradia tala barando kablerata zaboriata. Iko bajala kraska bata ika baradon zabaraka tabalia tabu. Jesus, now is the time.
Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Every one of you online, on Telegram, Mix LR, present your prayer request before the Lord.
Go ahead and sing.
Obela sambre kapa. Kilada barako sabre tali haruga badaya. Kebra shabra tababala ru. Ikobala sabre kete brehabuna. Kebras kabre tabalerus kaba.
Adonai,
from the rising,
hey.
Adonai, Elaka Baba Dabuska Bata Bela Karash. Kibras kapato zeveketaria dobalaya.
Please, if you can remind people who are not online, please go ahead. Some persons are waiting for 9 p.m. But before 9 p.m. we are through. Before 9 p.m. we are through. If you can remind them, go ahead and remind them. Before 9 p.m., we are through. Eleba soko pada itala. Hey! Ha! Hey, Adonai! I'm waiting for the angels. So go ahead and pray. I'm waiting for the angels. Kabada badaya. Kebe sabina mo kobela sabaruta. Adonai.
Aila bereke bandas kapara de brakata.
Hey,
Tabada Bada Bada Eka Bada Bonko Feta Boro Palabra Kobanda Skapadabru. Holy Spirit of God, thank you, Lord. Let me display Psalms 121. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Please open your request, present it before the Lord. Open it like this. We will lift up our eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Sing that song again.
From the rising of the sun to the Palabastaka patabo. Your name is to be Alora. Melekoba saifinabo. Abara. Gaida badaska pata. Iliko breska pata vidabo.
Three more times.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the moon.
Your name
is to be Allah. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Your name is to be Allah. Adonai. From the rising of the sun
to the setting of the same.
Adonai.
Psalm 65. Just present it before him. Psalm 65.
Praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and caused to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, which thou hast provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with chaff. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little ewes rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Go ahead and sing that song.
From the rising of the sun
to the setting
of the same. Your name
is Adonai.
From the rising of the
to the setting of the day.
Your name is to be Adonai.
Okay.
Why?
Your name
is to be Allah.
Hallelujah. Adonai. 150.
150. Hope you are not minding. It's a prophetic action. Don't worry.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty act. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
From the rising of the sun to the setting, of the strength,
Your name is to be hallowed, Adonai.
From the rising
of the sun
to the
setting of the same,
Your name is
to be hallowed, Adonai.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. My heart is gladdened because I've seen what I've been waiting for. In 2 minutes, can you begin to speak over your request? Just 2 minutes. Everyone online, please ensure you are with us. The atmosphere has shifted already. I've seen it. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. 1 minute more. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can you lift it before Him? Just lift it like this. Everyone, wherever you are, lift it up. Lift it up. Jesus, we come to present our request before You. You commanded this. We know that there are things You want to do. Spirit of God, we receive feedbacks from heaven.
Amen. Amen.
This is the first day of the new month, and You have commanded this. Jesus, we receive feedback from heaven.
Amen.
My God. We receive feedback from heaven.
Amen.
We decree and I declare that let all these prayer requests be stamped.
Amen.
We pray over your request, over our request, including mine. Spirit of God,
let there be results.
Amen.
Let there be results.
Amen.
This month of March, you will release all that belongs to us.
Amen.
This month of March, you will release all that belongs to us.
Amen.
Everyone who is trusting God for one thing or the other that has been written down, Jesus will decree, let there be instant results.
Amen.
Your angels that you have deployed in our midst to this purpose, Holy Spirit, nothing will accost them on the road.
Amen.
Nothing will accost them on the road.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
I decree and I declare that nothing will accost them.
Amen.
Our prayers find speedy expression.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Find speedy expression.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
These doors that are opened will never close again.
Amen.
These doors that are opened will never close again.
Amen.
These doors that are opened will never close again.
Amen.
These doors that are opened will never close again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Many of these prayer points will never be repeated again.
Amen.
Many of these prayer points will never be repeated again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Especially that is that which is personal. I decree they will never be repeated again.
Amen.
Because answers will come to them.
Amen.
Answers will come to them.
Amen.
As we have heard about soul winning today, answers will come to them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
That's all we are going to do tonight. I'm following instruction. Please, for the next 3 days, all the scriptures that we read, Psalm 121:65-150. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Please, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's hold hands. Please, let's hold hands. I see a matter of urgency. I'm seeing a family crying. And we need to stop this. This is something evil, something terrible. I just saw that very quick vision. I saw a sitting arrangement, and I'm seeing families crying. Can we pray? Every program of darkness for any family, whether they are part of Menorah or not, as long as they are here, Lord, we destroy it.
Amen.
Well, let's pray, Nay. Lord, this must not happen. This is not your will. It must not happen. Please, we don't know whose family this is. Ensure you pray. Every one of you who are prophetic people, join me in this vision. Try to see what I'm seeing. Every one of you who are prophets, try to see what I'm seeing. Jesus, we stop the mouth of lions. We stop the mouth of lions. This evil will not happen. This evil will not happen.
this evil will not happen. In the name of Jesus, no joy will be stolen. No tears. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name,
amen.
I want to beg us, let's go and pray this personally, please. We don't know where this is coming to. Let's look beyond ourselves. Lord, as we have said in your ear, so will you do.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's drop our hands. Please, let's pray this prayer personally. So, as I was saying, for the next 3 days, we are presenting this prayer before the Lord with the same scriptures that we have read, and we pray over it. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Everyone listening to me online, for the next 3 days, this is what we are doing. We pray over it. And please, I don't know how this will sound in your ear. After these things, ensure that you give out. Are we together? Ensure, not to me. Nobody should give to me. Nobody. Ensure that you give out. I said so on purpose so that you not think that we want to collect money. No. Nobody should give to me. Nobody. If you are listening to me online and on site, nobody, please. But ensure you give out. If you don't mind, you can give to old people. Alright? Something is going to happen. I saw doors open. I don't know the specific doors, but I saw doors open. I initially wanted us to continue prayers, to do some few prayers, but this is where the Lord has permitted me to stop it. So Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for what you're about to do. That in spite of what is going to happen in the landscape, we are preserved. We are separated.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Let's do our confession. I am in the company of the God class.
I live in the supernatural clan.
I do things natural supernaturally.
And things supernatural naturally.
I have run authority. Over sin,
death,
sickness,
and poverty,
immortality,
and supernaturality
are my realities.
Even in my mortality,
no one
can talk me out
of the supernatural.
I am completely supernatural.
Shout, I am complete in Christ.
Glory.
Hallelujah.